The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hi, I'm Nora. Welcome to my podcast, Behind the Moves, The Life of a Dancer. In this series, I will be talking about firsthand experiences, my experiences being a competitive hula and Tahitian dancer, all the way from training, competition life, and dancing at such a young age.
Do it for fun, don't take it personal. Personally, I'm surprised you call me.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 6, Hula Sisters. So in this episode, I'm going to be interviewing one of my fellow dance friends at the studio.
Hi guys, I'm Mia Sazan. I'm a senior in high school and currently I'm not dancing, but we'll get into that later.
And yeah, let's get started with the interview. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a couple questions about dance and you can answer them however you want. So yeah, let's just get started. How did you start dancing and what made you want to start dancing?
Honestly, I started at the age of 5. I was forced into dance, but as I grew older, I grew a love for it. And I don't know, like through truly made me want to start dancing was you actually. And seeing how much love you had for it and going and starting to go to the competitions too. And it just made me just love dance so much. So
that means a lot for you to say that to me because I admire other dancers so much and they inspire me to keep dancing and want to grow as dancers. So the fact that there are other people that look at me like how I look at these other dancers really mean a lot to me. So why and when did you realize you wanted to start competing?
I wanted to start competing once I saw Melanie Amen at the Huda Tahiti competition in 2015. And I saw the way her presence like was around the audience and how she made me feel as a dancer. And I just wanted to start competing because the way she danced, it was amazing.
So it was just from that one video that made you want to start competing?
Yes, I rewatched that video like probably over 100 times.
That video, I think it went viral. It has over 1 million views. So if you guys want to check it out, it's on Bryson Kim. Search up Melanie Amen Tahitian. And that video is very astonishing. Made me want to grow as a dancer as well. So if you guys watched my other podcast, you know that I got to have the opportunity to go to Tahiti. And Mia was actually one of the girls, one of the 3 girls that came with me on the trip. And how did you feel when you found out you had the opportunity to compete in Tahiti?
To be honest, it was a great opportunity, but I didn't have the money for it. So I put fundraisers, I had a garage sale, I sold spam musubi at school, and I just worked my butt off to go to Tahiti because I really wanted to and just experience the culture and the dance I love.
Yeah, I also did the same thing. Tahiti is very expensive. It's like a honeymoon spot. So very expensive. All of us like fundraised at school. I also sold spam musubi. If any of you know what that is, it's like a Asian or Polynesian type of food. And yeah, we all sold it at school to try to fundraise, even though we probably didn't make as much money as we thought. It helped our parents somehow. And we did this because it's very much a once in a lifetime experience. So we tried our best to get it done.
So in my previous podcast, I also talked about how different it is training in Tahiti versus training here in the US. Did you also feel a difference or was that just me?
Yes, I don't know if it was the air or what, but we also trained in the pool in our Airbnb, and I feel like that made my dancing way better. I don't know what it did, but it made me stronger, made my legs stronger. And the humidity over there, it was so hot when we trained, so I was like sweating extra. So yeah, it was way different.
Yeah, I also felt a difference, especially with the weather, because we practice outside, not most of the time, the whole time in Tahiti. And when we practice here, we're practicing in an air-conditioned studio, so it's easier to breathe. And when it's hot, it's harder to breathe, of course. And we're also sweating a lot. It's very uncomfortable. So it's just a lot different than training here in the US. So now moving on to the actual competition day in Tahiti. We know that competition day is always scary. We went through a lot that day at the Ori Tahiti Nui competition. So what were some interesting things that happened that day?
Starting off, not only you losing your phone, but unfortunately my dad when he entered me into the competition, my birthday is June 13, 2006, but instead he put June 6, 2013. And so I was going in as a six-year-old. And so I thought I missed my time to dance. I was bawling my eyes out, and I thought it was over for me. I went to Tahiti for nothing. Luckily, I was able to dance because my kumu begged the people to let me still compete. It was a struggle for me. And on top of that, my headpiece fell off before going on stage and on stage. It was just a mess. But overall, it was super fun and fast day.
Yeah, not only like training is way different from Tahiti and the US, competition is also very different. There's so much more fast pace. Over here in the US, it's very slow. We're always late on time and not on schedule. And it's also a 1 to 2 day competition here in the US most of the time. But over there, it ends around 12 o'clock. All the categories from the little girls to the older girls. And it just goes by so fast. So the fact that we went through all of that, me losing my phone and Mia almost not making it on stage, it was a lot for us. Tell me about meeting people from all across the world at this competition.
I was so excited at the competition to meet so many new people, but at the same time, I was going through what I was going through and almost not being able to compete. So I was sobbing my eyes out and crying my eyes out the whole time meeting all these people. I felt embarrassed at first, but now that I think about it, I'm so glad that I met all these people from LA, Japan, Tahiti, France, Mexico, and it was just great.
I remember I was in line, and usually here in the US, we ask each other what our names are or how old we are, what group we're from, and I asked this one girl, very, very tall. She had blonde hair, and I asked what group she was from and what her name was, and she told me that she didn't speak English, and it's because she's from France and she always only speaks French. So that was a very interesting experience because that's never happened to me in the US. So
yeah, overall that competition, we learned many things, but it was also a vacation for us because we went to so many monuments and everything. And I'm gonna ask you, what's your favorite place or monument that we went to in Tahiti?
It wasn't in Tahiti, but it was another island we went to. We went on a ferry ride to go to Moorea, and it was so beautiful. The food was great. Everything, the water was beautiful, and even the boat ride was amazing, and just making memories with our halal and just being there with everyone, the presence of everyone, and especially that hair flipping video we tried to make. That was so fun. And collecting shells of Miko, it was my favorite part. It was a great experience.
That one was also one of my favorites because we got to swim with the sharks and stingrays. I know some of you guys touched them, which is crazy. And the crazy thing is, we were just swimming and relaxing, but our dance teacher made us train at the beach. And we had to train in the water, just like how we did at the Airbnb with our pool. So even though we were having a little vacation and relaxing, we still were in competition mode because it was a couple of days before the competition. Enough talk about Tahiti. I know you talked about in the beginning of the podcast how you're currently not dancing right now, and that is due to an injury. And you went through not just one, but two injuries. And how did that affect your ability to dance?
My injury was in my ACL. Well, on the right side, it was my meniscus and ACL, and then the left side was the ACL as well. It affected my dancing because it's in the knees, and with Tahitian and hula, you use mostly your legs, your hips, and I just couldn't do that. And since I had to stop dancing, it just made me feel so sad I couldn't do what I was mostly passionate about. I tore it at school doing PE, and it's a little embarrassing, but I was doing a long jump at school, and I just tripped, and I thought I like pulled a hamstring, but I just collapsed on the floor, and I was screaming, and I was in excruciating pain. Like, I've never felt that pain in my life, and my parents didn't even know it was a torn ACL either,
So I was home and I was on bed rest and it was throbbing. I was purple. My knee, my whole leg was purple. And it was just terrible for me. It was really a bad day.
I was so sad too because it was around group competition time. So I think Merced competition, and we were all preparing to compete. And you were going to compete with us, but we found out that you tore your ACL. And we were all so sad, but at least you still got to compete during that competition. And then after, that's when you got your surgery.
Although I love dancing, that came to an end for now. But that also led to drumming, and drumming became a huge passion of mine.
So since we were going to compete and you had an injury, did you feel any type of pain or felt any way mentally during the Merced competition, even though you were going through an injury and you were competing?
Actually, prior to the Merced competition, I begged my physical therapist to even let me compete into the group competition because I could no longer do solos. But going into the competition, I tried to keep a smile on my face and just still be content that I was able to compete with group and be with my hula sisters and just do what I love still.
What is your perspective as a drummer, and how do you see things from an outside perspective aside from being an actual dancer?
From being a dancer, you have to hear the beat as you dance. And so as I was drumming, it was so much easier for me to get the hang of it, because since I knew the beat as a dancer and know like the rhythm and the timing, it just came easily. And my favorite is the pahu, which is the bass, which is the easiest to me, not the tuere, but yeah.
So the pahu is, we all look at it as basically the heartbeat of a dancer because it's the bass, meaning it's also like the bass for the actual drum or the pehe, and it keeps us all going basically. So the bass has a very important role, even whether you're a dancer or not. It's probably one of the most important drums out of all of the drums. Our teacher Jazzy has told us that she also went through the same thing. She tore her ACL, right? She tore her ACL, and that also led her into drumming. And when she came back, she said that drumming actually helped her with dancing. As you come back to dance, do you think it would help you with dance?
To be honest, yes, because since you know every accent, every timing of the beat coming on, it'll come easier as you dance. Like, oh, that's the next dance move I want to do, or that's a really good beat for me to slow down or speed up.
As I mentioned earlier, you did not just have one injury but two, and you're going through your second injury right now, and you were about to get back into dance as you were healing and you were looking forward to get back into dance. How did you tear it the second time, and what were your thoughts when it happened, everything happened?
Another silly story. I was at my best friend's cotillion, and I was in the middle of the mosh pit. And unfortunately, while we were dancing, it got super hype, I guess, and someone accidentally kicked the back of my left leg. And my knee moved forward, and I just fell in the middle of the dance floor. And right when I felt it snap, I just knew it was torn again. Like, nobody could tell me anything else.
So you're basically 2 years off of dance, or 2 years not dancing. Are you doing anything to prepare yourself for when you actually get back into the studio?
I'm currently in physical therapy, and we're doing a lot of quad and leg strengthening. And at home, I've been slowly dancing, not doing anything fast paced or anything like that, but doing slow amis or just a slow tamao and just a lot of stretching.
Yeah, that's everything. That's the whole interview with Mia, and I hope to see you guys in the next episode.
Thank you guys for having me. Bye.
Thank you.